Today we celebrate Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was sent to continue the work in the world that was begun in the beginning with God and the Word, Jesus, and took on new life with the Word, God incarnate in the man, Jesus. The word Pentecost in English is not too far from the Koine Greek word for 50th, which is also very similarly pronounced Pentecost. To the 21st century Christians, the word Pentecost refers solely to the 50th day after Easter, 10 days after the ascension of Christ, when the much-awaited advocate and comforter is sent to the people of God. But this is one of the several examples of transference of holidays from one religious tradition to another. There are many Old Testament or Hebrew Bible references to Pentecost, which was translated into Greek from the Jewish word and holiday Shavuot, which was originally the festival of weeks or the festival of the harvest, but is now celebrated 50 days after the second day of Passover. There are many similarities, and these similarities and these commonalities are worth spending some time considering. On this particular Pentecost, which we perhaps consider the first Pentecost, although there is historical evidence that proves us wrong on that, the disciples of Jesus are all together in one place. This makes it sound like they are physically in the same place, but also of one mind. And I'm not sure that was what was intended. Huddled together, perhaps, is a more apt description of what was going on. They are frightened, so much so that they do not venture out into the streets, which are crowded with folks from all over the known world. Kudos for Marilyn reading that long list of those presents in Jerusalem from around the known world that day. And while the fearful followers of Jesus are huddled together, praying that they will be spared the fate of their beloved teacher, a rush of violent winds fills the house, and divided tongues of fire land on each of their heads. So much for the comforter that Jesus had promised to send. A rush of violent wind and divided tongues of fire sounds anything but comforting. And yet, this wind and fire engaged them and gave them just what they needed to move out from their comfortable space to do the work that Jesus had charged them to do when he was last with them after the resurrection. Left to their own devices, there's no telling how long these disciples would have taken the safe route, would have remained in hiding, not sharing what they had seen and learned from Jesus. Left to their own devices, none of those Medes or Parthians or Elamites or any of those other good folks visiting Jerusalem for the Feast of the Weeks would have heard the good news of the conquering love of Jesus from these unlikely witnesses. And ultimately, this same good news would have never been passed down to us if that rush of violent wind and divided tongues of fire had not rained down on the fearful and comforted them in a way that probably seemed anything but comfortable at the time. And all of that is a nice Bible story that some of us have heard hundreds of times, but what does it have to say to us today? Perhaps this story of Pentecost has more to say to we Christians in the year of our Lord 2017 than it has ever before in some of our lifetimes, especially if we take time and consider what it is we are really anticipating when we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth or to guide us into right judgment. If we put any weight on Scripture at all, which certainly we do, we should be expected to be driven by the Holy Spirit into the world, proclaiming the love of Jesus to all people of every language and nation. We should expect that those things which now bring us comfort will no longer bring comfort, but those things which discomfort us now will no longer make us uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit can truly work in that way. I vividly remember riding in the car with my dad 25 years ago, talking to him about my feeling called to be a priest. Only I wasn't talking to him about my call to be a priest. I was actually very coolly, so I thought, talking to him about his ministry. One of the things that petrified my incredibly insecure and introverted self was standing up in front of a group of people and speaking, much less preaching. I vividly remember saying, "I have nothing to say that hasn't already been said." And he said, I have no idea what he said. I have no memory of what he said. But whatever it was, it didn't matter because this was not about me nor him. It was about the Holy Spirit forcing me out of my comfort zone into a new comfort zone. I think we Episcopalians are particularly uneasy with the notion of the work of the Holy Spirit. Other folks have very different understandings about the work of the Spirit than we do, and that's okay. We can embrace the working of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the Spirit of God will give us the gifts we need to be moved out of our safe, comfortable spaces into the work that we have been given to do. The work of bringing the people of the world together. That is, after all, what the Holy Spirit led the disciples to do on that day, is it not? The Holy Spirit sent the disciples out of their safe hiding place into the crowded streets with folks representing all the known nations of the world, gave them the languages they needed to bring folks together, and the courage to speak the words that shared the love of God. That same Spirit is here with us to bring all people together, to unite, not to divide, to help us to see that the same God that has created and loves us all sends us out into the world. Amen.